107. In the first, second, and last verse.
Well, thank you, Secretary.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, that first song we sung there, we talked about, you know, I forget exactly how it said, but I got it right now. But it was making me think of a verse of scripture. Oh, yeah, it says, I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world, the victory to win. And it makes me think of that verse there. It's, I was forget the exact verse. It's John 16. I want to say it's 32. But it's John 16, where Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know, we know that. And so often still, I let myself get bogged down in the stuff that I go through in this life. And I don't, even if I have the knowledge in my head, I don't let myself really let it sink in. The reality of the fact that everything I'm facing, Jesus has already defeated. Whether it works out in the way I feel like it should, or whether it don't, it doesn't matter. God's already got that stuff taken care of. And then when he does answer our prayers, at least I'm guilty of this, like I'll get all surprised about it. I mean, really and truly, like on the one hand I'm not, but in another way I'm like, oh man, God answered that. Like, well, that's kind of what I should have been expecting, really. You know, but I mean, that's just, maybe nobody else is like that, but I still, you know, I've been saved since I was 6 years old, and that's, at least from my perspective, that's been a long time now at this point, you know what I mean? But like still, I struggle with that, and especially recently, I'll be honest, you know, if I get under a lot of stress, it makes it harder for me, right? And maybe other people may not react that way, I'm not sure. But I have more trouble with my faith and just trusting the Lord and stuff, the more stressed that I am. As you can imagine, I've been a little more stressed recently. But it just feels like at the same time, if I go back and look at stuff that I prayed just in the past few weeks, it's like, the Lord answered that, and he answered that, and he answered that, and then he answered that. And then you know what my mind says? It says, oh, somebody else must have been praying too. Right? I mean, that's how we are, though. But I just, you know, I say all that to say God helps us. And I appreciate so much that the Lord has been helping so much recently. He's just been answering prayers. He's taking care of stuff. Just do continue to pray for us if you would. I know we need to come pray here in a second. But, you know, Ebb's mostly cleared up of his jaundice. His skin looks really good. He's still just the corner of his eyes are kind of yellow. He's being a little bit stubborn. But Christina's feeding him and feeding him and feeding him and feeding him. And, you know, getting him out in the sun. And kind of funny because he just kind of, you know, when he pops out or whatever. They give him some vitamin D, but he's got an appointment tomorrow for his 2-week appointment and stuff, so just pray for him tomorrow. Also, a doctor's going to do a little procedure for us, probably even guess what. So just pray for him, you know, during that tomorrow. And also pray for us that we have taken care of the baby after that before. The girls don't need that, so. New territory. So pray for that for us if you would. Appreciate everybody praying for us. Sunday evening, had a real good service down at Dad's with the cowbell. Did y'all have a good service?
Yeah, we did.
Not good, good. Appreciate the Lord helping down there also. Definitely, and I do not want to forget this, definitely remember Israel. I don't know, probably some of you know this, maybe some of you don't. I know different news outlets cover different stuff, and people look at and listen to different things, but you know, Iran has basically declared that they are going to launch an attack on Israel after, you know, Israel took out these, it was Hamas leaders, wasn't it, here the other week. And I think, I didn't catch who it was, but they were saying in the news broadcast that I listened to, that one of the leaders in Iran made the statement that they would be under divine judgment if they did not attack Israel for that. You know, Allah is going to, you know, get on with it. And now, on the one hand, we have to understand, and maybe some people know this, maybe some don't, in the Eastern cultures, they are very much honor and shame oriented. And they are basically, at this point, they are obligated to talk big whether they're going to do anything or not. They have to. That's their culture. They can't just let that go by and not make a bunch of big statements. But at the same time, you know, Israel is taking it very seriously. Talking about the people in Israel there, making sure the bomb shelters are stocked up and things. But really, we just need to pray that God would help them, that he would have his will in that, you know, that he would take care of his people. Again, we talked about it. You know, we don't know what his will is for this time, what he seeks to accomplish, and by what means. But I know that if it's his will, God can foil any attempt that Iran has to attack the nation of Israel. If it's God's will, he can stop the missiles and do whatever he wants to. So let's just very much remember the nation of Israel, that God will take care of them. We need to remember our nation, tumultuous times, you know, but God's in control. Remember our revival coming up. God will prepare our hearts to receive revival, that he would have his will done in that, that he would help Preacher Adam and Preacher Doug, that they would have the messages that are needful. I remember our pastor this evening as he preaches and brings the message. That God would use him and work through him. Miss Terry was telling me before service that Miss Barbara was having her box. It was today, right? That they were going to have to do several of them, and it's stuff they had to put her under for. And they're really just not, they're not really feeling like she would be able to stay in the surgery that is kind of an option for the situation because of her poor health, even in addition to all the cancer. So just pray that God would give her wisdom about that and that he would give her peace about it. I don't have any questions where Miss Barbara is going. I mean, obviously none of us can know for 100% certain about anybody but ourselves. But every part of her testimony and evidence is that Miss Barbara does the Lord and that she's got a better place to go to. So just pray for her, and especially pray for Gary, you know, because that's going to be real hard on him. Thinking about the idea of being without his wife, and again, I know he knows where she's going, but, you know, that won't keep him from having to do without her during that time, you know. So I know he must be dreading that and hate to see his wife suffering the way that she is. So I pray for Brother Gary. He's got his own health problems. The poor man can barely stand up. I just pray for him. They've been faithful to the Lord over the years. I mean, as far as long as I've been, I mean, you know. Pray for them if you would. Pray for Holly and Brandon. I think they did, like, officially, like, not.
Y'all have been reading and back down over there. There's a lot of problems in that house.
Okay. So just pray the Lord's will be done in that, that, you know, and give them wisdom what to do. They had an inspection on the house they were looking at. Definitely there's quite a bit going on there. Yeah. Tony Brennan's feeling like maybe that's not. Maybe not a good one to go for. So just pray for them in that. I mean, I know that's a hard thing. You spend all that money on that inspection and then, you don't really get nothing out of it except bad news. So pray, remember them on that. Who else has got a request this evening before we come pray?
I've got several. I guess everybody knows Bill and Patsy.
Yeah.
Patsy called me today and Bill had broke his hip. And something happened during the fall that his mind is gone. He has no mind. He won't have anything to do with Patsy. He won't have anything to do with Rick or Diane or any of them. He's in a rehab down at Mount Holly. But he seems to think that Rick and Diane is taking everything that he's got, which that's all the help that they've had. Because, you know, their son died and the hand died. And so his mind is just gone. And it's more impacted today. It's really, really hard.
So the doctors don't know what happened?
No, I don't know where they've even talked to the doctor yet at all. But it's really, really prayerful. And then also, I've got, you know, June that comes and sits with me. She's got an aunt and uncle in Concord that she's been going down there and sitting with because he's got cancer. And she's been having to go down there once or twice a week to drop fluid off his lungs. So now it's gotten so bad that they put him in hospice. And he said it's went to his brain. Said probably was just a matter of time now, you know, for him, but the lady is still living, so she's going to have to take care of her. So she said she would be down there again, she's not for sure. So she said that they'll come to church and pray for her. And then pray for me, Wednesday, as I go in my surgery.
That's what I was about to ask. I couldn't remember what the date was, so it's coming Wednesday. And then, when was Lucy's consultation again? Is it next week also?
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Okay.
Randy got surgery. sure if they was gonna just do a follow-up and check them on it, or if they was gonna try to schedule the next summer.
Okay.
I don't know what they're gonna be doing.
Okay, so remember this. And I was gonna mention that, appreciate the little brother Robert be back with us, it's been a few services.
Aye. High school fund balance for the hard times or the stressful days, because, and the, what he does in the darkness, because if you start thanking him for that, then you know it's bringing you closer to him.
Yeah.
Other than putting you farther away, so it's good to just thank God for even on the hard times.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen.
He said, rejoice in your rejoicing.
Yeah. Amen.
Also remember the rest of my married children, and I talked about Jerry in the prayer too.
Yeah.
I think she, I talked to Charles here, she's doing something bad.
Okay.
Keep on remembering her.
Yeah.
You can do.
Amen.
They said something about, she's got some kind of heart problem. What they said is something, I heard something.
Yeah.
They said they don't know if that's a problem or not, but.
And she had quite a few health issues.
I think she has decided that once her heart was more of a vertigo problem.
Okay.
That's what she told Charles. And he knows she might be trying to, on the break, too, so.
Yeah.
They could be easier.
Of course, the vertigo's bad enough, she can't get rid of it.
Well, remember, actually, she didn't have a consultation with the doctor today. Took a, what started out was like a template, and it was just on her face. And it was a nine, but it showed the negative. They're gonna send her to a genetic, getting her actual for Charles, and they're gonna agree to get her, trying to figure out which one would be the better option for what they have seen. And, what they have seen, they think they were going to do cancer syndrome. So, they don't think she has cancer, but they don't want to really watch it. This is part of the priority.
So is that like an elevated risk kind of thing?
Yeah.
My first cousin got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer this week. She's not 45 years old. So if y'all pray for her, she's going to be.
Remember this.
He prayed for her, and his dad, he's admitted to a rehab center in Charlotte, but his brain is still not there. He doesn't recognize his children. He doesn't know what year it is. And it's a fact. It's just going to be a little slow recovery, so pray for that.
Brother Matthews, does it?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank God for letting me go back to work, letting me know what was massive good and everything.
Yeah.
I've been back 4 days now, and it's going pretty good. I thank God for helping me and watching over.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's all so for prayer.
Do things so quick, I'm worried.
Then just brag on you, praise your name for it, through and God, thank you for loving us, take good tools and helping us all. I pray God you continue to grow, thus work in our hearts and our lives, help us to lean to you, Lord, to cling to you, to understand, Lord, this talk and trust you, thank you for loving us, take good tools, help us, Jesus, in this mind of you, even the night of us, Holy Spirit, we pray to you tonight, Lord, I pray God you to do it. In the service, as long as you can, God, you touch us all from the hearts and minds. God, you be glorified, Lord, in the Jesus, just be by the service of all you do, or do this election, open up all the happens you have done. Have mercy on this day, and I pray, God, give us leaders, God, that will be merciful and good, Lord, is good American for our people. I thank you for being good to us better than we deserve, Father. I pray you turn our hearts to you this day, and be saved, God, that you work miracles in my name. We might know the grace of God to give the cost. Thank you.
Bible. I got more Bibles than I've ever had in my life, and I forgot every one of them. That's what happens. You go from having one Bible to all of a sudden you got three. So I got my old Bible still. You know, I got one, but you know, I didn't like it, even though it was a Schofield. It was too big, you know. And I mentioned that. Rich Billy and Miss Vivian gave me a Bible. I'm thankful for that. It's the right size. It's the same size as my other one. It's about like this one, and in any case, what I started doing was I started leaving one in the car, and then I got one that's in the house, and that way I said, well, I'll never forget the Bible. So just out of habit, the one that's supposed to be in the car, I must have carried it in, you know. So in any case, whenever we took off to him, I told her, I said, is that going on in here? She said, well, I'm going to look and see. And we're coming over the road. And I said, no, it's not. Oh, well, that's all right. But it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I hope he's been praying about revival meeting. And I'm looking forward to having a revival meeting. You know, I'm praying that we can have a revival.
Yeah.
That's what's needful. You know, that's what I need. That's what we all need.
Amen.
Is revival. That's an awakening. That's where God comes in and just works in our hearts and lives. And we talk about having revival meeting. A lot of times we associate that with people getting saved. We associate that with, you know, people running around, jumping pews and shouting house down, making laughs. And that's all great. That's not necessarily what it's about.
Right. Amen.
You can have true revival. Things can be silent.
Yes.
What I want more than anything is for God to do a work.
Yes.
In the hearts of His children.
Amen.
Just like we've been, you know, I started this Sunday talking about this rebuilding the walls out of Nehemiah. And Lord willing, we'll be back there tonight here in just a minute. But just in that same sense, you know, getting some things back established the way that they ought to be, not just for old time's sake.
Right.
Not just to be like Grandma and Grandma was, but to be like God wants us to be.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And I'm looking for God to move. You know, we can want that. I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't want that. Really? You know, you think about it?
Yeah.
Maybe there might be other things from time to time that we want more. Because it does require a certain level of self-discipline.
Right.
But more than anything, the Spirit of God must move.
Yeah.
must move. I want that. According to the Bible, God's word, he will not withhold that from us if we want it. Amen. I want that for myself.
Amen.
I don't want that for my wife, probably four drivers. I want that for myself. Amen. I need that. Chevrolet not. We all need it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. Has anybody got a song that will sing for me, so? Amen.
If thy servant have found favor in thy sight,
that thou wilt ascend me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. And now I want to move forward just a little bit. In verse 11, it says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I rose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do in Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung court, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that I was under, that was under me, to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, God, you have your blessing in the reading of it. God, that you move in this service as only you can, God. There is no other way that we can get anything out of this. I'm completely incapable, God, except you would move. I pray that it be your message that we hear tonight, your words, God, your voice even. I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts and our minds that we may hear and receive your word, that you'd be glorified in the name of Jesus, be exalted. It's in his name. Amen. Lord, help me preach on the thought tonight of there, getting our thought here from verse number 18, strengthening our hands for a good work. Strengthening our hands for a good work. Concerning rebuilding the walls. Now we talked about last Sunday how that Nehemiah had recognized the need to rebuild the walls. And on Sunday we talked about how that we've let some walls in our life, in our spiritual life, lie waste, and there's been some gates that have been consumed. And we talked about that. Hopefully, with the Lord's help, we was able to understand the need that we have to rebuild the walls and to rebuild and reestablish the gates where they belong. And so hopefully we understand that. And just as Nehemiah understood that, notice, first of all, what he said here in chapter 1 of verse 4. Now, we mentioned this Sunday, but I'm going somewhere. So just go to chapter 1 of verse 4 and look. And it says, when it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Once he learned and realized, once he was able to understand the need that there was, that these walls had been torn down, once he seen it for what it was, once he understood it for what was going on, it said that it grieved him at his heart. I will say this, that our laziness toward God ought to grieve us in our heart.
Yeah.
How that we've allowed so many things to come into our lives. You know, I'm not talking about just being like old time religion. No, the reason that we respect that so much is because they were biblical people.
Yeah.
Amen? That's the reason. It's not because they were old timey. It's because they were biblical. Amen? And that's what you and I need in our lives.
Right.
We need to keep some things out. And there's certain things we need to be taking in. And from realizing that, it ought to grieve us a little bit. Like Brother Nick said earlier, thank God for hard days. Amen?
Yeah.
Because in those hard days,
that, amen. And he does things through them times, amen. Some of the greatest blessings that God's ever done in my life, he used difficult times to bring me to that place of blessing. And I thank God for that. I always say this ain't my home, amen. I've got a home, and this ain't it. This world down here is not it. As much as this flesh wants to become comfortable in this world, and as much as this flesh wants to just enjoy this world and take it easy and everything else, I realize that as I'm here, I'm a laborer. As I'm here, I'm a soldier. A laborer's meant to work. A soldier's meant to fight. Hey, man, I'm not meant to lay around on my time in and just be lazy and just let it go by. Hey, I want to say this, that Christianity is not about the American dream. It's about serving a risen Savior. Amen. Give your bodies a living sacrifice, holding it acceptable to God. That is our reasonable service. Amen. Very reasonable. But notice that it says in verse 4 of chapter 1 that he sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. And then it says, and prayed before the God of heaven. I think that once we realize the need that we have when we build some walls in our life and to reestablish some gates, it ought to be met with prayer. Amen. It ought to be something that we begin to pray about. I hope that starting someday, I hope it's been something that's on your mind, on your heart, that you have been praying about. That is my prayer. Again, he says that whenever the king had asked him, whenever he went to Artaxerxes, and he finally told him what's on his heart and what's on his mind, and he finally let him know, he said that the king asked him in chapter 2 and verse 6, he said, It says in verse 4, chapter 2 and verse 4, he said, the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. So he prays, and then he prays some more.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, I'm not done praying about it yet.
Yeah.
And he prays some more. Now, he sends him, and after he talks to the king is pleased to send him there to the city, to rebuild the city, to rebuild the walls, and to put the gates back up once again. And it says there in verse 11, that as he come to Jerusalem, and was there so many days, he said, I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast I run upon. So him, just a few men, they go out at night. That's what he's talking about. He says, we're there. We're in the waste of the city. He says, I get up, and I go out with just a few men. And he says, and I went out, verse 13, by night, by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And so, not only did he realize in his heart and in his mind what he was told, see, before, he's there at the palace with the king,
right.
And he's being told, this is what's happening. I hope my prayer was that Sunday morning that the Lord told us something, said, look, this is a problem, the gates are down, and the walls have come down and are consumed. And these are things that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
But then whenever he gets to the place where he can see it for himself, he says, I want to go out, I want to examine it, I want to look at it myself. And that's what we ought to be doing right now, is examining the walls that need rebuilding. Amen. Part of that wall was standing, praise God. Not all of it was down, but there were some holes in it. Amen. And those gates were burned with fire. And so we need to examine the walls that are in our own life. Hey, the parts of the wall that's in my life that need rebuilding might be a little bit different than some of the parts that's in your wall. I'm glad to know this, though. The Holy Ghost can put his finger on it. The Holy Ghost can show you and reveal it to you. But not just in whenever you hear about it. It's one thing to hear about it and be told about it, but it's another thing to go and examine it for yourself, amen, and to really get a good look at it. Not only did he go out to just get a look at the whole thing, he said there in verse 13, let me read it once again. He said that he viewed, the latter part of verse 13, the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. He's looking over the whole city. He's at a vantage point where that he can see. Hey, I can see my life as a Christian, and I can see that there are some areas where I need improvement. There are that need to be sanctified once again. Hey, I can see that as a whole. And you can see that in your life as a Christian. You can see that as a whole. You can stand back and look, and you can see that. But furthermore, Nehemiah says this. It says in verse 14, he says, Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And it says, and the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. What he's saying here is, not only did I get to a place where the I could look back and I could see my life and understand that I needed some help. He said, but furthermore, he said, I went to those specific areas that needed the most attention. He said, I examined them to see just what the problem was and what it's going to take to rebuild. Amen. He's saying that I went to these different places on the walls because obviously it's a wall. Some places is going to be steeper and harder to get to and carry material up to. Some places is going to be easier, and it's going to, you would want to take care of those right off because you can get to it, right? And so he's formulating a plan. He's not just going into this blind. He realizes that this is a big undertaking. And that this is not something that he can just simply go and just do in a day. It's not just a day's work. It's something that's going to take dedication. It's something that's going to take some sacrifice. It's something that's going to take some responsibility, amen, and accountability. And so when he goes in to do this work, he's going to examine these specific spots on the wall that need the most attention. And he's going ahead and deciding and making a game plan. And he's formulating an idea of how an attack plan, if you will, of how he can go forward and how he can rebuild these walls in these areas. In the same way that you and I need to realize that to restructure, to rebuild these walls that we need in our lives, to reestablish these gates, we shouldn't go into it light hearted. It's not something that's why I said that, that's why this is a series, and this ain't one message. This ain't something you can deal with in one message. This ain't something you can deal with in four messages. This ain't something I can deal with at all. This is something that's going to be between you and the power of the Holy Ghost. This is one of them times where me and you and everyone who engages to do this is going to realize that our strength comes from the Lord. Amen. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some commitment. It's going to take some perseverance. It's going to take some patience. It's going to take some what's the word I'm looking for? Accountability. Amen. There's specific parts of this wall that need more attention than others. And there's parts of this wall that are going to be more difficult to reconstruct than others. But nevertheless, notice this. And remember this, if there's one place, one weakness in this wall, the enemy can get in.
Right.
If there's one weakness, then that is a place for the enemy to come in.
Yeah.
All it takes is one opening.
Yeah.
And so no matter how hard it is to rebuild, no matter how many hurdles have to be jumped, and no matter how long it takes, it's worth rebuilding. Amen. And so he was going ahead and making a game plan. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be going ahead and looking and examining not only the walls as a whole and realizing and saying, okay, yeah, the walls are broken down, but we need to go to those specific places and decide how much attention and how much dedication right now that we're going to have to give to these specific places on these walls to get them rebuilt the way that they need to be. And so he goes and he looks at it and he gets specific. Then he says in verse 17, then said I to them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we meet no more a reproach. That word for reproach there is distress. Church today, not Shaken Grove specifically, I'm talking about the church as a whole,
in America is a disgrace. You know why? Because the rest of the world sees that.
Yeah.
They see how the homosexuals are leaving services.
Yeah.
There's probably in churches, if you go to the national town, I'd say there's probably at least by now 30% of the so-called pastors are ladies.
Yeah. Yeah.
See how the people church, they're no different, they talk no different, they walk no different, they act no different than the rest of the world. You say, well, preacher, that's not me. I understand that. But the people in China don't know that.
Right.
People in South America don't know that. People in the Philippines don't know that. When they see the church in America, they see it as a whole. And this is the thing. If you and I would be like Nehemiah and the men that went to rebuild these walls and these gates, not every single Jew that there was there working on that. Amen? But whenever these people went to rebuild their walls, didn't matter what everybody else was doing. It affected all the children of Israel.
Yeah.
Right? In the same way, whenever you and I, hey, I'm going to say this, that whenever the Bible tells me that Jesus said upon this rock, talking about himself, he is the good foundation, amen.
Yeah.
It's not a man, it is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That is the good foundation, amen. He is the rock. But he said, I am the rock. He said, and this, he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen?
Yeah.
The church is meant to be an offensive force.
Yeah.
Whenever the church, whenever God's true children are operating like we should, whenever we've got our laws established like they should be there, we have no need to worry about any other defense. Because, matter of fact, the Bible says that hell cannot stop us. The forces of darkness cannot stop us. Why? Because we're following God. I will say this, America could look a lot different, and it could start with you and I. You say, well, preacher, I understand that. I'm not nobody neither. But I want to say this, that we serve a big enough God, amen.
Yeah, yeah.
He was bigger than Goliath. He's bigger than a bunch of liberal politicians. He's bigger than a bunch of crooked God-hating Satanists. He's bigger than all that. And guess what? He's big enough to turn the tides of this nation. He's big enough to give us revival. Hey, and it can start with you and I just wanting and saying, God, I will, regardless of what anybody else is going to do. It doesn't matter what this person does over here, or what the Methodist church is doing, or how this Baptist church is failing you, or even people that I know and love that are Christians. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to rebuild these walls. I'm going to reestablish and sanctify these gates once again. He said this. He says, let's build up this wall. There will be no more reproach. There will be no more disgrace. I don't want to be seen as the generation of Christians that let America fall.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I want to be seen as the generation of Christians that brought God back in the church, that brought God back in the schoolhouse, that brought God back in the courtroom, that brought God back into the government, back into the lawmaking. Amen. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do it for my glory. I want to do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
You and I have, we look at it as we've got, we say this. We say, think about this for just a minute. And we go and we say this. We're living in tougher times. I'm preaching in tougher times, right, Preacher Billy?
That's right. Right.
And we say that, and that, although that's true, that is true. My grandpa, before he died, I told him, I said, Papa, you know, we know he's dying. We got to spend the last few months with him. He was in bed. And I told him, I said, Papa, I can't do as good as you've done. I said, I can't never be as good of a man of God as you've been. I said, I just can't do it. He said, well, you'll have to do better than I did. I said, my father ain't gonna let it. He said, well, I'm praying that you will. He said, son, I love you. He said, you're gonna face hard times, harder than I ever did. He said, you're gonna preach in times harder than I ever did.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And I realized all that's true. But what we fail to see is this, we hear that and we talk about that, and it makes us feel as if we're helpless in the times that we live in. And we say, well, you know, the world's just going to wax worse and worse, right? What if Nehemiah would have said that?
Yeah.
He said, here I am, I have to live in the king's palace. I got to serve the king. This pagan king, it hates God, don't want nothing to do with God. But then he says, no, you know what? I'm just going to go up and ask him. You care if I go down there and rebuild the city, amen? You care if I go down there and put the gates back up, amen? Hey, he said, you know what? What an opportunity I have, because I know that my God's big enough, amen? Yeah. And so this is what he tells the people. Whenever he tells them this, he says that we be no more reproach. And then he says there in verse 17, he says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Hey, I want to say this. We've got a big enough God in heaven, and what an opportunity that we have amongst the wicked generation and the wicked times that you and I live in to be a light, to be the salt of the earth, to be the ones that will say, I'll do it, God. Let me go. Here am I. I want to rebuild the wall. I want to reestablish the gate. I want to be one that's sold out for you. I want to be one that's on fire for you. I don't want to let you down, God. And I want to say this. If you just have that kind of attitude, if you get in your heart that you want to do something for God, then your God, my God, he is big enough. And when his hand gets upon you, amen, ain't nothing can stop you.
Yeah.
He said, I told him about it. He didn't tell him. Let me tell you what the king's going to let me do. If you go back right there, He sent him captains of the armies to follow him,
yeah,
and letters to tell the keepers of the forest, let him have wood. He worked it, but he didn't go tell them that.
Yeah.
He didn't go to them and say, let me tell you what Artaxerxes done. He didn't sit around and say, man, you know, things sure was good when Artaxerxes was in office.
Yeah.
You know, if they elect that Campbell of Darius, we ain't going to be no good. He didn't care who's in office.
Yeah.
He didn't care who's in charge. Amen. He said, I got a big enough God.
Yeah.
And whenever he got the work started, he didn't go bragging on the one that, I mean, this man's hand signed the papers and sealed them and done all that. But he said, just let me tell you about my God whose hand's upon me. He said, that's where the power comes from. He said, that's where the authority comes from. He said, that's what's going to get these gates and these walls rebuilt. Amen.
Amen.
He tells them that in verse 18. He says this. He said, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. See, he mentions that, but he makes much of God. We make that possible. Amen. That's just the afterthought. He said, let me tell you what God done, and let me tell you who he used to do it. How about that? Right? See, we think that if we got a bunch of, realize this, you could have the most wicked, sinful leaders there are. And with the faith of a mustard seed, to trust God and say, God, I will. God can even use them to do things.
Yeah, amen.
Even if they don't want to or don't even realize what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they'll play right into his hands. He's a big enough God. He says this also in verse 18. And they said, that'll work, verse 18, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Once the people got it in their hearts, they said, yeah, we want to be. They said, we see the need. We understand the need. We can see it for ourselves. We've examined it ourselves. We understand that God is with us. This is what God wants, and God's going to strengthen us so they strengthen their hands for the good work. Now, the Bible says this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen? Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God.
Yeah.
Amen? And so we understand that our strength, our power, our might, it comes from God. It's not within ourselves. It takes God's hand to turn the tides and to do things. And even whenever we realize that there's things within ourselves that need to be built upon, that need to be built up, that need to be reestablished, and there's things that's been broken down, we also realize it takes strength through the Lord Jesus Christ to do even that. Amen. And so that at the end of the day, we'll glorify God. We'll say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Them girls are singing that song. I'm not, you know, it's under the blood. I love it. It says, I'm not what I used to be.
Yeah.
My life's been changed.
Yeah.
I just want to put a hand up and brag on God whenever I hear that.
Yeah.
I'm not patting myself on the back when I hear that. That ain't something I've done in my own life, preacher.
Right.
That's something that God's done in my life.
Yeah.
Praise His holy name for it.
Amen.
I love what God's doing in my life, what God's doing in my life. Amen. It's a blessing to be His child, to know Him, and to have Him work in me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
But I will say this, that there is another aspect of this. And that is that we have an accountability. Says they strengthen their hands. So that he brags on God. He says, I'm going to tell you how God's hand's been upon me. He says, I want to give all the glory to God.
Amen. Yeah.
But at the same time, he said, these walls, he said, this is not going to be an easy task. He said, you need to be prepared now. He said, they strengthen their hands. He said, they got it. You know what that means? It means they fortify. It means they build them up. Now, it's not talking about that they went and they started working out or anything else, but they committed their bodies, their whole selves, to start this and finish it. They said, we can't just build half a wall, it's no good. The enemy can still get over the top. They said, we can't build most of it and leave some parts open because the enemy has a way in.
Yeah.
When we go to do this, we're going to have to do the whole thing, we're going to have to do it right.
Yeah.
No matter how long it takes. No matter how difficult it is, no matter what sacrifices have to be made. I'm glad I don't have to name a bunch of different things. The Holy Ghost puts it on your heart. The wall that you have, you know the most difficult part that needs to be rebuilt. You know the gates that need to be sanctified once again. You know the ones that's going to take some time. You know the ones that's going to be hard. You know the ones that's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take cause you to give up some things. It's going to cost you some things. I'm not picking on you, that's God.
Yeah.
Putting those things in mind. I'm just being very general. Amen?
Yeah.
So whenever you're here, know this is coming from the Holy Ghost. We've got a responsibility. We've got an opportunity.
Yeah.
What an opportunity we have amongst the wicked generation we live in. To just let God do mighty things. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. This is not something you take care of tonight. There may be part of this that could be. But I wonder if you would come tonight and just say, God, I want to strengthen my hands. I want to fortify my heart, my mind, my soul to do this good work. It is a good work. I want to approach this with patience. I want to approach this task, Lord, with discipline, with a desire to finish it, to do it right, to build the entire thing, to not let anything falter. I want to go into this with commitment. Amen. Have you examined parts of the law? Do you understand the need, are you willing to commit to the good work? It's the will of God. He desires it. He'll give you strength. He'll carry the greatest burden. He'll lift the most weight. But are you willing? Are you willing? What a grand opportunity that we have in the day and hour which we live. Be a beacon for God. As I pray tonight, if the Lord so spoke to your heart, why don't you go join us? Father, the God of heaven, Lord, as Nehemiah called, Lord, you are God over everything, Lord, over all creation. There is, Lord, none else besides you. There's no power besides you, Lord. There's no authority besides you, Lord. God, I failed you, and I have failed you in so many ways. Lord, I know, God, that my heart, my flesh, that is, that part of me that's tethered to this world, God, it desires worldly things. Lord, as we sang, Lord, with the church and the congregation, Lord, I'm always tempted to sin. Lord, I cannot wait until you deliver me from the body of this flesh and have a glorified body that sin will no longer be a problem. But in the meantime, God, would you help me to be sanctified? Lord, would you help me to commit all my ways to you? God, that there be walls that I build upon, God. Lord, you've already given us the foundation. Lord, no other man can lay that foundation except that which is laid. You laid it yourself on Calvary. You shed your blood for sin. But Lord, I pray that you help us and strengthen us, God, to build. Lord, sanctify, grow, be patient, be consistent, and continue to build thereupon, that we not have, Lord, any weaknesses in our defenses and our walls, because the enemy would have no occasion of invading, and that we would be fortified against all the wiles of Satan, God. Let us not only have that spiritual armor to go out in battle, but let us have the walls and the gates established where they need to be. Lord, I pray that you give all of us here tonight, God, commitment right now here tonight to go into this good work, Lord, and to understand that it is a task that is not going to be easy. Lord, that we'd be willing to see it through the end, that you'd be glorified. I thank you for loving us. Thank you for having mercy on us. Lord, be with us. Help us to continue to study and to pray and to watch. Ask us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Back here to next point in time, Lord, bless and protect us all. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.